Hey, college basketball fans, it's time for the Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schrader, and I am privileged to write and talk about the Missouri Valley and Ohio Valley basketball conferences. We talk to players, coaches, media members, yep, and the fans about the Valley and the OVC. Stick around. We have a great show for you today. The Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast wants you to know about our friend Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. A great salesman with great products, that's Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. The One Puede Project is a missions organization helping special needs and terminally ill children in West Africa, and you should join the Upside app. You'll get cash back on gas, groceries, and a whole lot more. Use the invite code HARRY5474. And we have a great show and podcast for you today. Selections have been made. March Madness launches Tuesday in Dayton. The NIT and other tournaments get going soon. And we've talked to Moorhead State head coach Preston Spradlin, Drake head coach Darren DeVries, and Indiana State associate head coach Matt Graves about it all. It's going to be a great podcast and a great show. Stick around. First up, Darren DeVries, the Drake head basketball coach. Welcome back to ValleyHoopsInsider.com, and we're talking with head basketball coach Darren DeVries of the Drake Bulldogs. They're a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament and playing Thursday in Omaha. And Darren, thanks for joining us. And my first question is, did you have any kind of notion about where you would land in terms of seeding or those kinds of things? How tightly did you guys look at that and have any idea?
Yeah, the seeding part, we felt like we were probably in that 11 to 10 range. I thought with some of the games, maybe even yesterday, that might have bumped us up to that 10 spot. I don't know that, but that's kind of where we thought we would be, somewhere in that range coming into it. And, obviously I had no idea where we were going to end up, but the fact that we ended up in Omaha and 2 hours away is awesome for us and our fans.
Yeah, I when they said Omaha, I thought, are you kidding? I mean, that's spectacular. Tell me what it was like today. You're in that room with fans or whoever you were. I think you guys had some kind of a watch party. What's it like when they finally show your name up there? And then, of course, I don't know if you noticed this on the show, the video feed from your place, they went to it, and it was a test pattern. So we don't have any idea how you guys celebrated.
Yeah, your name pops up. It's a quick. Everybody's excited, and then about 2 minutes later, that's over, and now it's it ends very abruptly after your name is announced. But then it's time, like, everybody scramble mode and start working on usually flights, but for this one, buses and hotels and tickets and things, and everybody starts scrambling and getting those things figured out, and obviously coaches were scrambling to get some tape.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, you guys were about the 1, 2, I'm going down the list, 3, 4, 5, you're the sixth pairing mentioned, and kind of anticlimactic. I mean, you're all geared up all day, we're going to have this event, and then, well, it's over, just right at the beginning.
Yeah, they put it up there, and then, we do a little brief, kind of announcement afterwards, and our guys go sign a bunch of autographs and things for the kids that all came, and so that's why it's all fun. But as you mentioned, we didn't even watch the rest of the bracket, so until a little bit later, didn't even know who was in and out and where people were going.
How crazy or how fun will it be? You mentioned Omaha's close, but it was also home to you for a long time. How fun, familiar will that be for you?
Oh, I'm incredibly excited. I can't wait to go. There's so many people that are going to be attending the games, those that aren't able to follow Creighton out to Pittsburgh, that are going to be in attendance. So they can just keep their blue on, and instead of chanting CU, they can chant DU.
That's spectacular. Somebody posted yesterday something about the Greg McDermott coaching tree, and they listed you and other coaches that are highly successful. And give me one or two Greg McDermott kind of this is lesson number one that I really learned from him.
I think lesson number one is keep it in perspective. Like he's such a positive person and has such a positive outlook. He's able to kind of, put stuff away pretty quickly. I think he's terrific at that. One of the best I've been around. I'm not as good at that. I'll hang on to it for a while. I was telling people the other day, like even, last year's Miami loss, or I can name, certain losses that they'll hang on for 5, 10, 15 years. So I think I still got some work to do in that department.
He still needs therapy. When I think about, as you're going to Omaha, and I think about Creighton had a great seed and Oregon's in the tournament and you guys are in there, there's just a rich history that has come out of that program, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. And you think about, Coach Altman and the success he had there at Creighton, and now obviously at Oregon, and Coach McDermott and what he's continued to do and taking it, even another step when going into the Big East and what they've been able to accomplish there. So just, incredible tradition there and just great people and fans and such a basketball community.
You get Washington State, and so I guess you could call Dana and get tape from him, but do you know anything about the Huskies at all? I mean, obviously you're a basketball fan, so you might know something, but anything that you've learned already?
Yeah, they have, they had a good year. For one, they win the Pac-12 regular season. That says a lot right there. They're a really big team. I think 2 through 5 are all 6'8" and above. They'll do a little mixture of man and zone throughout the game. But like I said, I haven't dug into them yet. But that's the initial thoughts on them. It's good team, big team. So certainly will be a challenge for us.
And I know you're not looking beyond the Huskies, but the way it all broke out is that if you happen to win and Iowa State wins, you get them in the second round. That would be you. I know you're not looking at that game, but in the back of your mind, that's got to be an interesting thought.
Yeah, we'll worry about Washington State first, but I know yesterday, watching Iowa State this weekend and stuff, just enjoying watching some of those games. Wow, are they good? Especially on the defensive end, they make things very difficult for opponents.
Third tournament now, Darren, in like the last 4 years, and two in a row. Last year you guys were a 12 seed. Any thoughts about these are the lessons I've learned? How do we succeed in this event? What are the things that, man, I wish we hadn't done it that way, and I think we'll do it this way now in terms of preparation or travel or whatever?
Yeah, I think the two things I thought, even for the conference tournament and NCAA tournament, I think number one thing is just make sure that you're in. It sounds like, well, duh, everybody should do that. And it's like, no, you have to make sure you're engaged in the moment of playing basketball and not just, taking the first 10, 15 minutes to like get past all of what's going on around you. And then, oh, yeah, I gotta go play. So making sure you're just all about competing and being ready to play at a level that you're going to need to do to try to win a game like this against, really good teams.
Final thought or two, when you get ready for this, and obviously I know it's special playing, doing this with Tucker and all of that, but taking that step up to the national stage and the extra media exposure and all the extra questions, even when you were at Arch Madness, I mean, you got guys like me bugging you, but then all of a sudden you have CBS bugging you and all of that. Is it more difficult to push that away, compartmentalize that, get that done and still get your own work done and focus?
I don't think it's too much, really. Especially for someone that's been there before, for some of our vets, it's probably, it's not routine necessarily, but they've been interviewed before and stuff like that. So they get it. Now, some of the guys that haven't been there, it's a little bit of an eye opener because there's certainly a lot more cameras, a lot more eyes, a lot more people. You can feel the energy, from that standpoint, but, I think that all kind of works itself out. Again, I think it's all about the message you continually give to your team about, whether it be in a film session or a walkthrough or whatever. And you can tell when they're locked in and really laser focused on what they need to do.
Well, I'm trying to connive my way to Omaha, so hopefully I'll see you later in the week. But appreciate your time tonight. I don't want to take up all your time. I know you got a lot of studying to do.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Harry. Hopefully you can make it.
I'm going to try. That's Darren DeVries, the head coach of the Drake Bulldogs. Are you in the market for a new car? I was, and I ended up at Don Brown Chevrolet here in St. Louis. Don Brown is famous for saying they are on King's Highway at the entrance to the hill, and I went to Don Brown Chevrolet, and salesman Ben Yates answered all of my questions. He went the extra mile and helped me understand what the process was like, and then he got me perfectly situated in my brand new Chevrolet Trailblazer. I hate buying cars. I hate all the back and forth. And Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet took all the manipulation out of it, helped me find the car I wanted and really that I needed. If you're looking for a new car, go to Don Brown Chevrolet, but not just to that great dealership. Call 314-474-0270 and ask for my new friend, Ben Yates. There's a picture of Ben and me and my brand new car on our website, valleyhoopsinsider.com. Low pressure, great service, helpful to a fault. Let Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet know you heard about it from me, Harry Schrader, at valleyhoopsinsider.com. Well, we're with the Moorhead State head coach, Preston Spradlin. They've just announced that they are the 14 seed in their bracket, taking on the third seed Fighting Illini of the Big Ten. And first of all, Preston, congratulations. You and I talked maybe a week ago or the middle of last week, and you told me you guys were going to be a 14. So is your side business a bracketologist?
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, first of all, thank you for having us on here. And not a bracketologist by any means, but, you know, we kept an eye on just the net rankings and teams that were punching their ticket as we enjoyed March Madness throughout last week. And obviously a good amount of upsets and teams that, you know, weren't going to be as high as us that were punching their ticket. And so all of those things, you know, kind of added up with the other metrics and things that we've got going that proved to be right, that we're a 14 seed. And so we're really excited about, you know, the opportunity and the draw that we have with Illinois.
So did you also anticipate that Illinois would be your opponent? I'm really digging deep here.
No, didn't on that, to be honest with you. We didn't dive as much into who we would play. Obviously, there was a, you know, a group of about five or six teams that, you know, the speculation and bracketology was telling, and Illinois was one of those teams. So we weren't, you know, necessarily surprised when they came across. A little surprised that we're going all the way out to Omaha to play those guys. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can't complain about any of it. You just got to be excited about the opportunity and prepare your team.
Yeah, you and I talked last week about the idea of maybe being able to play closer to home. It's a little bit of a hoof, but it isn't Spokane, at least. What do you know about Illinois so far? I know it's very early.
It's very early. Didn't even, you know, obviously watch their game today as they, you know, finished up in the Big Ten Championship, just as, you know, Selection Sunday was about to kick off. So we were busy with our own celebrations and get-togethers with our fans and friends and family. But obviously a great team. You know, anytime that you're, you know, the number two seed in the Big Ten tournament and you go on to win it, that's a huge accolade and obviously gives them a lot of momentum and confidence, just like us with our conference tournament. So, you know, look to be a big physical team, a lot of respect for Brad and his teams traditionally. You know, they're going to move the ball. They're going to share it extremely well. They're going to defend and rebound at a high level. And so a lot of those things sound a lot like our team. And so it's going to be a great matchup.
Their backcourt is a pair of 6'6 guys. And so that's a little bit of a matchup issue. But they're talented, but so are you. And I think in that selection show, Clark Kellogg bragged about your guy Riley Minnick, said he was one of the best players in the nation. Were you guys watching the show, and did you hear him talk about him?
You know, briefly, we were watching the show, and obviously we had a huge crowd for our watch party, and so didn't get to, you know, clearly hear everything that Clark had to say about our team, but we really appreciate it. And obviously those guys, you know, anytime you can get high praise from those guys that do that bracket reveal on CBS each and every year, those are always special comments, so we appreciate those.
You know, defense wins championships, or at least that's the old adage, and you guys play great defense, and tell the people that haven't seen you guys play a ton, are you going to, you know, junk it up in terms of the way somebody else plays? Are you guys going to stay straight man-to-man in the things that you normally do? Talk about your defensive philosophies heading into a game with a team that you don't really know very much yet about.
Yeah, correct. We're you know, top 10 in the nation in a bunch of defensive categories. And about 4 weeks ago, you know, per the KenPom and all the metrics, we were the number one defensive team in the nation there for about 3 days. Of course, that's always a moving target with so many different games going on and stats and everything. So, no, we're not going to change up what we do. You know, this has gotten us this far, and we feel pretty good about it and how it stacks up against the rest of the country. And, you know, our man-to-man defense, our ball screen coverage, and different things that we do. Obviously, we got, you know, 4 days to prepare and get ready for a really good team, you know, so figuring out exactly what these guys do well, try to, you know, take them away from letting their guys get to their spots, make life tough on them, and try to exploit some of the weaknesses. I don't know exactly what those are just yet, but I'm confident over the next couple of days with our staff and the work they'll do, the homework and the scouting, that we'll get prepared and put a game plan together as to how we're going to attack these guys.
We did talk about this last week, but talk about now preparing your team for the drive, the travel, all of those things that go into that. What did you learn from last time about what to do and what not to do heading to an NCAA tournament?
You know, this one's going to be different, right? You know, obviously coming off of COVID and all those things. But, I think, you know, it starts with us getting prepared as a staff, and then that way that we can be, obviously confidently and efficiently present to our guys what our game plan is. And then you've got, you know, a few days to build up some very specific habits that you that are going to be effective against this team, and opportunity to maybe add a few sets and tweak some things. You know, we didn't want to do any of those things leading into Selection Sunday because we had no idea who we'd play and if it would be effective. And so anything that we do moving forward is going to, you know, complement what we've done, who we are, but at the same time, it's going to be very specific and geared towards our opponent.
So talk about the celebration today. What was it like at the pub that you guys gathered at, and talk about the fans and the interaction?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. You know, we met as a team up in our team lounge here in the arena, and had a meal together and just hung out and kind of talked to the guys about the experience of Selection Sunday and what that was going to be like. And so we got over there about an hour before the show began and, signed autographs, took pictures with all of our fans. And it was absolutely, packed in there, and just an awesome atmosphere. Our athletic director spoke, our cheer, our dance. They were all there, so it was an incredible atmosphere. I got a chance to say a couple words, thanking our fans and talking about our team. We watched some highlights from the run through the championship last week there in Evansville, and then we sat down and watched the show. And as you know, a couple minutes into it, it was pretty quickly revealed who we were going to play and where. And so then there were some interviews with some media folks that were there, and now we're up in the office and getting to work, getting ready for these guys.
Yeah, I'm watching that show, and I'm like, I geared up. Okay, I got a whole hour here to plow through. And, oh, wait, they're about the fourth team mentioned. You know, all of a sudden it was over, terms of – and then, you know, of course, as you know, I pay attention to the Missouri Valley Conference, and right away Drake was the next one. And I thought, well, I've done all my work. I can go do something else. But the
it's funny you say that. I have no idea who we're even have a chance to play in the next round. You know, we were so – locked in to seeing our name and then excited once we did. And so do not even know what the potentials of the next round would be or what region we're in or any of those things, to be honest with you, Harry. We'll have time to dissect all of that down the road, but we're going to, tackle the challenges ahead of us right now, and that's preparing for a really good Illinois team.
Yeah, BYU and Duquesne are the next time, so that's your next two.
Okay.
I'm giving you the scouting report.
There you go.
Hey, I don't want to keep you because I know you got a lot of homework to do. Appreciate you carving out time for me this evening to talk about that. Super excited for the possibilities for you guys to go knock off a Big Ten team and then take on somebody else and get to that Sweet 16. That's what I'm hoping.
Absolutely. Well, Harry, appreciate you and all the attention and coverage that you give to the Valley schools here, Ohio Valley and the Missouri Valley. You appreciate good basketball, and looking forward to delivering on that in March Madness.
Well, I'm trying to connive my way to Omaha, so hopefully I'll see you later this week. Thursday is when the Eagles will be taking on the Fighting Illini. It should be spectacular. Preston Spradlin, thanks for your time. The One Play Day Project is near and dear to my heart. Parts of West Africa are extremely poor, and birth defects and malnutrition are rampant in those impoverished countries. The When Play Day Project is there to help with medical treatment, surgeries, medicines, and therapy. Well, really, whatever those children need. If you'd like to help, head to sheltering-wings.org. You'll see someone with my last name on there, and you can lend a hand to terminally ill children in West Africa. That's sheltering-wings.org. I'm a big fan of the Upside app. I'm making cash back every time I use the Upside app for gas, groceries, my favorite fast food place, and other restaurants. Go to the Upside app and type in the invite code HARRY5474, and you can make a little extra to help out your bottom line. It's the Upside app with the invite code HARRY5474. Well, welcome back to the Valley Hoops Insider website, and it's March Madness season, and teams being added and not added to the big bracket for March Madness, teams looking at the NIT and other things. And our guest tonight is Matthew Graves, the associate head coach of the Indiana State basketball program there. The Sycamores don't make it into the NCAA tournament. And Matt, you and I were talking before we started recording and all that, man, there's a lot of emotions and a lot of maybe disappointment in Terre Haute.
Yeah, the players are certainly, disappointed. That's ultimately who, we feel the worst for is our players. And then, a close second, maybe a 1A and 1B, is our fans and that have really supported us all year long. And like we were talking about, I've been fortunate enough to not only play but also coach in several NCAA tournament games, and the experience that provides and that platform, something special, and you create those lasting memories. And ultimately you feel really bad that, our players don't have the opportunity to experience that along with, our great fans here in Terre Haute.
So you guys, I learned that you guys had a private kind of team only party is the wrong word, but a gathering to watch the selection show. Did you, because of all the ways the what they call the bid stealers happened this weekend, did you kind of feel the handwriting was on the wall?
Yeah, you knew going in, and the viewing party, if you will, it was good. It was our players, and then there was selected, a lot of our administrators and some boosters of the program. So it was I bet there was probably 75 to 100 people there that, really support us. And it makes you feel really good that, going in, I think a lot of us felt like it was probably a long shot. Maybe, if you want to put odds on it, maybe 5% chance that we would get in. But all those people still showed up and, supported our players. And we were really appreciative of that. And, as you saw the brackets, go, when we saw, honestly, the two things right away, and I was sitting with Josh when it happened, you see FAU in that 8-9 game, and then you see, Drake, with a 10 seed, you kind of felt like, okay, maybe we're going to sneak in at this last moment. But then, when Boise State and I think Colorado showed up there on the 10 line, it was like, yeah, I don't think this is going to happen at that point.
I think later in the show, they said that you guys were the first four out, but you were the third one. And one of the selection committee guys said, yeah, we had five bid stealers, and it's like, oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. And that's what, another guy texted me and said, moving forward, do you feel like that's going to change your philosophy on scheduling? And it's really not. We're not going to apologize for, how we scheduled in the non-conference. And, and we can beat a dead horse, and you've heard it, for years and years. It's just hard to get quad one games. You have to get lucky. And, we played, two really good teams, quad one teams. And, at the end of the day, if FAU or Dayton, win their league and there's not a bid steal there, and, NC State and Oregon don't win their leagues, and, New Mexico doesn't win, their league, then all of a sudden, we're sitting there, packing our bags for Dayton. So, it's frustrating to be that close and not in, but, at the end of the day, we did, everything that we could have, within our control, obviously, except, maybe win another game or two.
I'm a conspiracy theorist. And when I started watching all these money conference tournaments this weekend, and all the number one seeds were going down. I'm like, yeah. Sure, they're throwing games so they can get more game, more teams in the tournament. And
I threw a bottle at my it was a water bottle, so it was plastic, but no beer bottle or anything, but I threw a water bottle at my TV when Virginia didn't foul there at the end and let NC State bank that shot in. So I was like, come on. We just, it felt like though, for about 48 hours, the Sycamores, you just couldn't catch a break.
Yeah. I felt the same way every time I watched a game or a result. I'm like, oh, darn it. You know, I just was unhappy. Tell me about the mindset of your team. Obviously there's disappointment tonight. But sometimes the immediate disappointment is, okay, well, we're going to be sad for a day and then get back to work. Or it's, I'm mad and I let's get to work right now, coach. I mean, like, tell me about the mindset of your players.
Well, what we ended up doing, we practiced today before the selection show. So, you know, we weren't sure ultimately, you know, where we were going to be. And we just wanted to, get a good 2-hour workout in with our guys and, get them focused and just ready. And, you know, Josh did a great job in practice, just talking to them about all the possibilities. And, you know, that's the great thing about Coach is, you know, he deals in reality. You know, he's not trying to sugarcoat anything. And our players really understood, heading over there to watch the selection show that, you know, our margins were very slim. And, once our name, wasn't called, you could just tell that our guys were certainly disappointed, but at the same time, we get a chance, this team is still alive. You get a chance to play more games with your teammates, and, what a great opportunity. We're going to be a one seed in the NIT. You got a chance to play 3 home games against really good opponents, in the Holman Center, and then drive up the road to play in Hinkle Fieldhouse. So, we have a great opportunity, and we don't have to leave the state of Indiana. So our guys are excited about that, and we understand that all the games are going to be tough. And here at 9:30, when we find out who our opponent's going to be, we'll be ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean the consolation prize isn't terrible. I mean, you guys have a good opportunity to still do some really fun and exciting things. We've watched. Oh, man, maybe the last 10, 15 years in the Missouri Valley Conference for teams to go do some damage in a tournament like the NIT or one of the other ones and have it be a springboard to the next year. I mean, you guys don't need a springboard. You've had a terrific season and over 50 games, right at 50 wins over the last 2 years. But it can be a great building block for the program as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you continue to build momentum and, it's not going to hurt for – once we lost over there in St. Louis to Drake, I mean, you could not, turn on social media or the TV or and not hear about the Indiana State Sycamores. So for a whole week, you were able to get that. And, we want to continue that for the next couple weeks and be able to make a run. And it helps, it helps the school, it helps our program, it helps recruiting. The one thing, honestly, it probably hurts is scheduling. Yeah. we make a run and win the NIT, and we bring everybody back. We don't have any casualties from the portal. There's nobody that's going to call us back to schedule at that point. But again, it's a byproduct we're willing to deal with, and you just got to keep plugging away and do the best you can under the circumstances you're dealt.
Super excited, though, for what you guys can do in the NIT, and appreciate your time tonight. When you guys get back to practice, and you'll know who you're playing at that point, but the mentality of your guys, it business-like excitement or anger?
I think that's described well. I think it's a little bit, they're feeling the emotions of all of those. And I think, once we have an opponent and we get together tomorrow, I think the maturity of our group, and we've seen it, time and time again throughout the season, the maturity and leadership that we have within our team, we will be ready to play and compete in front of our home fans. And, we've got something to prove. And our guys are going to have a chip on their shoulder, and you know, certainly they're going to be sad tonight and angry, but you know, I think tomorrow, again, once we get back together tomorrow afternoon, you know, and start diving into, you know, whomever we play, and we know it's going to be a really good opponent. I think that the juices will begin to flow again, and it'll be go time.
Yeah, and according to one bracket I saw, you know, they're guessing, right? But according to one bracket, you won't see Bradley until Hinkle, so that'll be great.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it was funny. You know, you kind of search and look through all that and just speculate what they might do. And, you know, one of the teams that I saw pop up, and it wouldn't shock me, is, you know, to see Loyola travel down
there. Yeah, I saw that too.
So that would, you know, certainly that would be, you know, unique. And, you know, Butler's floating around there. And so, you know, I think, you know, getting – it will probably be some sort of a Midwest connection team to start this off. And, you know, at the end of the day, whomever we play, we know they're going to be good. We know we're going to have to be prepared and ready to play. But, you know, I'm excited that, you know, this team's still playing. So we've got a lot more to prove, and hopefully we'll get a chance to play five more games with these guys.
Well, we're excited for you too, Matt. In the midst of the disappointment, we're excited for what's ahead, and appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Harry. Great talking to you, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
I hope so. That's Matt Graves, the associate head coach of the Indiana State Sycamores. They'll be in the NIT and playing games this week, and we'll be paying close attention to all. Thanks for listening to the Valley Hoops Insider radio show and podcast. Don't forget to visit our friend Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. He's a great salesman with great products. That's Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. The 1.8 Project, it's a missions organization. They're helping special needs and terminally ill children in West Africa. And you should join the Upside app I have, and you'll get cash back on gas, groceries, and a whole lot more. Use the invite code Harry 5474. Thanks for listening, and remember, since you've been there, make it a better place. We'll see you again real soon.